Here I am, this is me. I come into this world so wild and free. Here I am.
We interrupt this program, bringing an important news alert. Hello, I'm Skabaka Shurtigal, your host for this portion of the show. During the recording of Sourcecast, the Sourcecasters ran into a bundle load of problems.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
And while Sawyer of the Wolf said that, Anaya Kylestis decided to talk back to him.
I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse.
Here's looking at you, kid.
Once they were caught up in the War of Words, however, Rusty the Fox came online and tried to intervene.
You talking to me?
Houston, we have a problem.
Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Astra's having trouble trying to decipher this War of Words, but they believed that, really, all anybody was trying to say was this.
May the Force be with you.
Either that, or this.
There's no place like home.
Or even this.
You can't handle the truth.
After Night told Swords.
E.T. phone home.
Thus he decided to end the conversation and left with this statement.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
It was only after he left that Swords made fun of him.
Run, Forrest, run!
And I, upon seeing just how cruel Soros could be, left with this statement.
I'll be back.
Then Soros decided to jeer at her as well.
There's no crying in baseball.
Soros realized that he was all alone and began to leave.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Then Soros left with this to say.
I'm king of the world!
Thank you very much for listening to this news report. Now, back to your regular broadcast.
Here I am, this is me. I come to this world so wild and free. Here I am, so young and strong, right here in the place.
Welcome to the fifth episode of Sourcecast. I'm Anayu Kylestis.
I'm Rusty the Fox.
I'm Swords of the Wolves.
And I'm Skabaka Shurtigal, still not a girl.
And we're the Sourcecasters?
Yeah.
We're the Sourcecasters.
Because you weren't expecting to be listening to the Sourcecast. You were supposed to be listening to that whatever explicit version of the Sourcecast that's right next to us on iTunes.
So surprise!
Surprise! We're the kid-friendly version. In case you ask, if you were trying to go for the whatever Linux Sourcecast on iTunes, you're at the wrong one.
This is the clean version. We're kid-friendly.
Kid-friendly version.
Mostly.
And Anaya is hyper right now.
Yeah, she's been drinking Mountain Dew Code Red.
I've only had one sip. That's the bad thing.
Oh, man.
Anyway. We've got a great episode lined up for you. We've got plenty to talk about and little time to do it, so let's get started.
All right. Yep. So now we'll get into the site and forum news, and I'll hand it over to our guest speaker, Tova, to talk about the Lion King source design that was supposed to be there but got scrapped.
Yep. Well, I got to take a small look at it. It wasn't completed. It was basically... like question mentioned in her news on the Lion King source, it was red and orange, but because it wasn't completed, it was gray. Anyway, it's actually mentioned in the news in the comments that Grey Wolf actually scrapped the design for now, and she's going to be working on a new one.
That sounds interesting.
Actually, there's a few people. Well, not a few people, but there's a couple people that I know that aren't too happy about the design. And I didn't really like the banner at first, because it kind of looked like it was rushed and not like the way it looks now.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think that if there's a new design, it could bring more attention to the site. Join! Send fan art and images! And the whole fireworks, and it would be good for the site. But what I don't really like is the animated style of the banner. It's like, it kind of looks like a DVD cover, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but...
Shiny?
Yeah, it's shiny. It's all weird looking, to me anyway, and I don't really like that. I like the way it looks like it was actually animated by, like, the people who took time to animate Mufasa and Scar and all the other characters, basically the animators of the films. I was surprised, because I actually found out in the shout box, Kanye and Jinja, they were speaking about it, and Jinja posted the link, so I found it interesting. And yeah, so what do you guys think?
Well, I for one am... Oh, sorry, Rusty, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. I for one am glad they're not using that ghastly gray background.
Yeah,
that gray background did kind of clash with the idea of the Lion King.
I don't think it was finished. I think that was where the orange was supposed to go.
I hope so.
Unfortunately, I never really actually took the time to see the proposed design. And I was wondering if, is there any way, like, somebody had saved a screenshot of the preview design? And, is someone going to plan, like, this is how it is now, this is how it was going to be, but this is the new design that's going to be no one has ever seen sort of thing, like, when it actually comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think someone has done that already? Or is doing that?
Probably not, but if you want, I could probably fish out the link in the shop box on the site, because no one really talks on it.
Well, it was just on the French side, wasn't it?
Yeah, the new design was only on the French side, but...
If it's been reverted, it probably won't be there. But I bet Grey Wolf saved it.
Probably.
But I'm not sure.
As
probably reference. Have to go ask Grey Wolf.
It's Grey Wolf who's leading it, right?
Yes, I believe she was the one who was leading the graphics design part of that.
Has the group responsible really said anything about any sort of timeline or release of the new one? Or any sort of status update as far as that goes? Or are they pretty much staying mute for the moment?
I haven't heard anything. Tova, have you heard anything about a timeline for the release of the actual new graphics?
No, actually, Question only said in the news that Grey Wolf would be working on it this weekend, but this was posted, I think, Monday, so it should be out maybe next week or the week after, because I don't really know how long it took for Grey Wolf to actually make that version of that design,
mm-hmm.
But it shouldn't take too long, at least I don't think it should. I don't design sites, but...
Yeah. Well, anyhow, so let's move on to our next little bit of site and forum news while you're still here with us. How about that Robin Hood source?
Oh, really?
Robin, yeah. Oh, that's right. Source hasn't seen it yet. There, no, we have a not. Robin Hood source.
Wow. Okay, I'm going there right now. I was in Borders the other day, and I saw a Robin Hood DVD, and I... was half considering getting it, but...
Oh, the irony.
Yeah.
No, don't worry, Swords. The discovery and news of the existence of such a site hit us like a slap in the face, both Anayu and myself.
Yes. Actually, interesting bit of news, as put by Seat in the News. It was designed graphically by Mighty Balto, and the... whole information aspect was created last night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really.
Mighty did a good job on this.
Yeah, for being so rushed.
Yeah.
Mighty is actually a girl.
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, I totally forgot.
Hopefully she won't, I don't know, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say anything anymore.
Yeah.
There's... bit of gender confusion on this website. Everyone, nobody knows what gender anyone is anymore.
Gender,
right? Well, for being quote unquote rushed, I'm looking through the pages on it, and I'm actually this actually looks really good. Like for being so sudden,
mm-hmm.
It's not complete. It's still not entirely complete, but there's a lot of stuff in here already.
Yep.
Well, they've been planning it for a while, actually. For a couple of months now, I think.
I'm kind of surprised we didn't hear anything about it ahead of time.
Yeah.
I know, right?
What were you saying earlier, Tova, about there being, like, a trial version of it?
Yeah, Steep sort of opened the site so everyone could see, because there was a design before the official one today, and people actually got to comment on the design and to say what they didn't like. Like, for example, people said the banner because it kind of looked empty. People said the color because the colors didn't really match. Like, some things clashed, some boxes were uneven, and all this stuff. And then I guess after Steep removed the ability for people to see Robin Hood's source, and I guess they redesigned it. People gave their comments, and they redesigned it. So, to be honest, it actually looks better now than it did back then. But even back then, I liked the design, so I'm sort of biased, maybe? I don't know. The both designs are okay. Well, this one I actually like better. You know, it's not one of the most popular movies, so it might not last as long. Like, I know Lady and the Tramp lasted about 2 weeks before it sort of died down, and there's hardly anything going on besides a shop box going and a few characters and images and art coming in.
Yeah.
There's
not really much going on over there, but, you know, it's always like that with the new sites. Everyone is all happy. Oh, look, there's a new site. Let's go over there.
You said that you brought up the whole popularity thing and lasting of a site. It almost seems like with how fast the sources are coming up, it almost seems like Steet's goal is just, no matter how popular or unpopular a specific animated movie is, it seems like his goal is to just create a sort of archive and informational area about these different these different movies for people to just really research a little bit, and also have the community back up there so they could talk about it.
Yeah, that's the impression I got.
Yeah, no matter how popular or unpopular a specific movie is.
Well, if you go on Google and you search Balthasaurus, for example, further on you would get, since they're all linked together, you would get Lion King, Lady and the Trap, and all the other sources. So if you search one, you sort of get the whole package, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is always good.
Yeah. Some sources are completely dead, like I know Princess and the Frog. In my opinion, that was sort of a waste time. No offense to anyone who worked on it, but there isn't really much. I actually visit it. At least I don't. I don't know if any of you visit it, but
I just think it was a little preemptive.
And it just came out. Like, well,
yeah. See, the whole beef I have with it is that is because Princess and the Frog is the newest of all the movies that are, that are in there, and now with Tailspin Source, it's also a TV show. And the thing with Princess and the Frog, even though we all know that Steet was incredibly excited for it, these other movies had time to ferment with the public and performing and becoming classics and whatnot. And I'm much more open into getting more like Robin Hood or Baltasaurus or something like that than something so new, Princess and the Frog. Like, I'm not saying that Princess and the Frog, the movie itself, isn't bad, because it isn't nowhere close to being bad. It's actually like beating on a dead horse, per se. It's a good movie, but it's still so new compared to these other movies that are classics.
Yeah. Pretty much like we said last episode too. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I haven't watched the movie. I've seen little bits and pieces. I guess I'll have to watch it now that there's a source that I don't really know anything about. But if I were to put them in order, like the sources, based on activity, I would say Balto is number one, since it's the oldest and everyone loves wolves. And after that, I think it would be Spirit Source. I'm not too sure. and then Lion King, and then All Dogs Go to Heaven, Tailspin, Princess and the Frog, and then Robin Hood. But I'm sure Robin Hood will jump Tailspin and Princess and the Frog soon, since it just came out like a few hours ago.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how everything performs, but still, I don't really expect any of these types to go down.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, thank you for joining us for this section, Toko. We'll see you again here in a little bit for your review on Legend of the Guardians. Do tell us your reaction, Skull.
My reaction was, oh, because I just wasn't expecting another source this soon. I mean, it was only 3 months ago that Steve... No, not even 3 months, it was less than that, when Steve released Lady and the Tramp source, then there's Robin Hood source. I don't think anybody even knew that was coming. We were all thinking of, you know, Toy Story... Brother Bear, all those others that we talked about last episode, but Robin Hood, nobody saw it coming.
Yeah.
That includes me, so when I saw it, I was like, oh! And that's been my reaction ever since.
Oh.
And that wraps it up.
Alrighty. So moving on to the site and forum projects.
In which we have...
I should be talking.
Only the animation source scavenger hunt. That's coming up again from last episode. Anything updated from last time? And now you?
Not a whole lot. UK has been working on the challenges, and she says that they're giving her a lot more problems than she anticipated. However, we did donate prizes for you guys to win. So as some incentive to actually participate, you could win. Drum roll.
A new car!
But yes, drum roll, please. You could win. Third prize is a small mention on the Sourcecast by us, with quotes or anything else the team would like mentioned. Second prize, because I'm being Vanna White right now, is a small feature / mention on the Sourcecast with one or two team members from the second place winning team. And the grand prize is an interview / feature for the winning team on Sourcecast at the earliest convenience for us all, with the whole winning team.
Awesome.
Yes. And...
So be sure to come in first, because you don't want to miss that.
Yes. And since we, the Sourcecasters, have been planning on participating as well, should we win any of those prizes, that prize will then be shuffled down to the next team in line, because it'd be kind of conceited for us to interview ourselves, let's put it that way.
Yeah, and then again, what would we talk to ourselves about?
Hey, Swords.
How's your day?
Right? And how did you win so effortlessly on the scavenger hunt? No, but this is to keep in mind that these prizes are also on top of other prizes donated by other members, right?
Yes. So there's lots and lots and lots to win, but that's just what we're donating. Also, Rusty Swords and Skull don't know about this, but you guys might be wondering about that last post in that topic that I made. And I'll quote myself, ooh, UK, you just gave me another idea, runs off with a mischievous grin. I'll PM about it later-ish. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that topic, because I'm going to leave everybody wondering, including those three guys right there.
You
are the evil child.
I am evil.
And she's her teammate.
$1 million.
$1 million.
$1 million.
Put Pinky up to the mouth.
So, and once again, don't start playing the scavenger hunt yet, because it isn't finished. Just wait till UK gives the okay, ready, set, hunt before you go.
And make sure to not post your teams on that topic, because you will get locked.
Just
I mean, you could do what you could do what we're doing and just say who's your team, but you can't post your team to make it official.
Yes.
Just to make it easy on you, we'll announce on Sourcecast when the scavenger hunt has started.
Fred Burger.
Yeah.
And IU is hyper.
Yes. So let's move on into the current events. Here we have Tova, who will give us a review on The Legend of the Guardians.
Yep. So, first, before I start, because I don't want to spoil anything for you guys, who watched the movie?
Not me.
Not me?
Not yet.
I wish I had.
Oh, so I'll have to be careful of what I say now, I guess?
Yeah, I'm planning on watching it soon, just...
same here.
I liked it, it was a good movie.
And thank you for your review! No, I'm joking.
I'm gonna start off with my basic opinion on the movie. For those of you who don't know, the movie was directed by Zack Snyder.
He's known primarily for using a lot of slow motion, so...
Oh yeah, in Legend of the Guardians, there was a couple of parts where it was slow motion. Anyway, the movie's in 3D, so you have to wear 3D glasses.
Is that the only option?
I don't know if they're going to make a non-3D version of it, if that even exists. I'm sure there is. But, no, the only option is to watch it in 3D.
Huh.
Unless you want to wait for it to come out on DVD, because obviously you're not going to sit there with 3D glasses and watch your normal TV. Anyway.
Yeah, unless you get one of those expensive 3D TVs.
I heard about that. Apparently the remotes cost $100 or something like that.
The glasses.
The glasses, not the remotes. The glasses. Yeah. That's ridiculous. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Back to topic. The movie was based off of the first three books of Kathleen Lasky's book series, Guardians of Gahul. Considering that it covers the events that happened in three books, they're not really big, but I think the pace was good, because I remember when I watched Eclipse, it was a big book, and the beginning was rushed. Like, they were just throwing things at you, expecting you to catch them, and it was just really rushed. But in Legend of the Guardians, what happens is that it actually takes the time to explain. They cut some things off and they change things around, but it makes sense. Because I asked my sister what she thought about it, since she didn't read the books, and I had. She understood what happened, and then I was expecting her to lean over and ask me, why is he doing this and why is he doing that? But she was actually surprisingly quiet during the whole movie, so I'm guessing she understood.
Huh.
You never know.
How it sounds like to me that this movie is actually one of those rare movies that are based on a book that actually follow the specific steps that the book took, unlike some other movies like, let's say, Blood and Chocolate or maybe even Harry Potter, where they omitted a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to the book, it sounds to me like Legends of the Guardian really had a lot of fate and was really faithful to the three books. Is that how would you say about that? Like,
well,
how faithful was the movie to the books in comparison to what happened in the story?
Well, there were some characters. I'm not gonna get into it because that would spoil it for you guys
other
people who haven't watched it. But there are some things that they changed to make it more interesting. Like, I know the beginning, it starts completely different from the books. But what they have is that the main events. And in the movie, there's a traitor, but in the books, Owlamir, I don't even know if he's a real character in the books, I'll have to check that later, he's the traitor. But, and I think I just spoiled it there for a minute. Because you're not supposed to know that till the end. Shoot, anyway.
Oh, man!
You're gonna make me cough. Okay. So there really isn't a traitor in the books. I'm not gonna get into it more because I'm probably gonna get like hate mail for spoiling. Because I'm known to spoil stuff, so I'm just gonna zip my mouth.
Aside from very minor adjustments to make the movie interesting, especially because it's actually based on three books, not just one, it's really faithful. You would probably say.
Not very faithful, but it's still faithful. It's not long. It's not like 2 hours and a half. It's actually between, I'm not too sure, but I think it's between an hour and 40 minutes to about 2 hours long, or 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
It says 90 minutes here on IMDb.
So this isn't a kind of movie that would cause
hardcore fans of the book to become really offended, would it?
No, a lot of people on the Baltasaurus Shopbox have, there was this period where everyone had Legend of the Guardian avatars, which I found was really funny. It sort of moved on to Alpha and Omega now, but it's okay. Well, I was happy with how it turned out. I think the animation, I really liked it. Apparently, it was the same animation used in Happy Feet. So yeah, I was pleased. There could be a few things I didn't like Otulissa, her breed or her type of owl wasn't as the same thing as in the books, because in the books she was a spotted owl, and in the movie she was a short-eared owl. At first I didn't know the difference, but then Riot the Rogue told me that, and I was like, oh my god, yeah, it's true. But, I don't know. And then there was a weird Digger. He's not that insane in the books. He's actually just smart and intellectual. Twilight is all he's like that in the books, so Twilight was good. Gilfie was good, Soren was good. Basically, the only ones that changed were Digger and Otulissa, but again, that's probably to make it more interesting. Since the kids' movie, I guess they made Digger wacky, so they would make kids laugh.
Yeah, kind of, like, almost a source of comic relief, really. That was sounds like it's kids, especially for little kids.
Kids' movies need comic relief. You can't make a kids' movie really serious. You gotta have a comic relief character.
Well, Legend of the Guardians is pretty serious towards the end. There's a fight scene, I think, that lasts about 20 minutes long.
Wow.
I think, or 15, somewhere, I don't know. It could be 10 minutes. My time, when I watch the movie, I don't pay attention to the time. I usually pay attention to what's happening.
Time doesn't exist.
When it ends, you're like, that felt like 5 minutes. Well, to me, anyway.
Yeah, you go out, and you're like, wow, it's dark outside.
The best movies are always like that.
Yeah.
Because it's actually rated PG, because you don't see blood. At least, I don't think so. No, you don't. But there's little clues to show you that owl or that creature, they're mostly owls, but they're dead. So, you know, I don't know how little kids would take that, you know, poor little birdie got his head cut off or something like that. In the books, they die pretty badly. I know one gets his head ripped off, the other one gets his wing ripped off.
Oh, wow.
Another one gets eaten alive by an erupting volcano. Yeah, there's a
hand that gets ripped apart. So if the books were made, you know, word for word into a movie, it would probably be rated PG-13.
Yeah, something like that.
There's actually 15 books in all. Well, technically 16, if you count the little extra, little bonus stories here and there. But there's actually 15 books, and they're not that thick. They're about maybe an inch, some of them. Some of them are even smaller than that. What I like about the books is that if you start the next one, like, let's say you start randomly in the middle of the series, let's say at book 9, as it goes on, it reminds you of what happened.
It summarizes, really, just, like, brings you back a little bit as to what happened from before.
Yeah, that's what I like, Catherine Lasky. And she's actually, I think she's making another series, but in the books, there's The Wolves of the Beyond. And I think she's making a whole other series for that. I saw that in the, it was sort of like an ad at the back of the book, like the really last page, and it just said, new from Catherine Lasky, Wolves of the Beyond. So I guess that means that she's making, I guess that she's making another series, but for the wolves this time, more focused on the wolves. But,
That'll be interesting.
But I recommend you read the, well, I haven't read The Wolves of the Beyond one, but I recommend you read the Legend of the Guardians of Ghoul with the owls before you move on to the wolves, because towards the middle and the end, it sort of drags the story of the wolves in it. It's like, it twists with the plot and everything. They get involved in these crazy scenarios. But what happens is that the books are sort of violent, if you believe that, because there's always fighting. There's some type of fighting in every book. There's always like a little battle here and there. They come in contact with like crows who don't like them during the day or something like that. The last book, The Ember of Hul, what happens is that it's like
I don't know if you want to give away spoilers to this.
Well, it's not really a spoiler. I'm just saying that it's the end. Like, it's the final war. It's not a battle. It's called the War of the Ember. So it's like, it ends there. So that's when the series ends.
Oh, so with that in mind, with these 15 books, and with what you've heard from other people who have seen it, would you say that if given the performance and the of the movie, do you think they would actually go out and make another movie of like the next 3 books or something like that?
Well, they should. I mean, there's 15 books.
Yeah, but do you think that that is possible or likely? Depending based on what you've heard from other people about the movie, because the general rule is as long as the original movie does well, then there's likely more story to be told and make another sequel. Do you think this movie has been doing well enough to warrant a sequel?
Well, most of my friends aren't really into those things like talking owls and animated things. They're more into the horror, which I don't really like, but if you are a fan of this type of movie or the books, you would like it. And the way the movie ends, it makes it seem like there's a sequel.
Okay.
That'd be nice. Alright, from what I can tell, I'm looking up the box office on Box Office Mojo, and it's telling me that the movie has made a grand total of $67 million worldwide. And it's only been out for a few weeks, so, I mean, I guess it'll... But they could make a sequel, but... I hate to say it, but I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure if they will. I wouldn't bet money on it.
It almost sounds like that amount of gross isn't really enough to really warrant a sequel unless the fans really call out for it.
Yeah, because compared to its production budget of $80 million, it hasn't made any money.
With everything, it always starts off like that.
Yeah.
Because you lose money at first, and then slowly, slowly it comes back.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd like to see the sequel to this. It might, because, if they have material, if one movie consists of 3 books and there are 15 books, then they have enough material to make 4 more movies.
Alrighty, well, thank you very much for joining us, Tova. We really enjoyed having you.
It's okay, it was my pleasure.
And for releases, what is about to be released, Rusty?
Well, like we said last episode, How to Train Your Dragon is coming out this Friday on DVD.
Woo!
And that's exciting. I kid you not, that's exciting. I'll get it like day one. Without any money, but I'll get it.
I'll be renting that.
Which you should, because everyone should see it and everyone should love it.
I still haven't seen it.
Well, Friday's your target date.
Certainly plan to. An interesting fact, DreamWorks is pushing for How to Train Your Dragon for the Best Picture Oscar award as well.
Is it really?
Huh.
Yeah. Impressive. Toy Story 3 is already basically locked in for a nomination. Whether it will win or not is a different question, but it and probably 2 or 3 other films are so far currently, it's like it's impossible for them not to get nominated. And if How to Train Your Dragon gets nominated as well, it'll be the first year that 2 animated films have gotten the Academy Award nomination for Best Picture.
Oh, really?
So, also upcoming, Beauty and the Beast has been released on Blu-ray in its Diamond Edition form.
Yes.
And from what I can hear, Anayu saw it.
Yes.
Tell us about it, please.
It was Beauty and the Beast on Blu-ray. No, seriously, it looked pretty good from what I could tell. I hadn't seen the older animation in a long time, but it looked brighter, I guess, probably more colorful. It was my first Blu-ray experience, so I kind of popped my Blu-ray experience bubble and everything. It was kind of weird, though, because I noticed that around the borders of like characters and objects, there were little white streaks. I don't know. It was, like, around the outlines, the black outlines, or the darker outlines, there was just, like, random white in different areas, and that bothered me a little bit, because it didn't look as clean. But other than that, I liked it.
Okay.
Nothing really to add about that.
So, if you have a Blu-ray player, this is definitely a recommendation, and if you don't, the regular DVD comes out in mid-November, so you can get it then.
Yep.
And in other events, MGM, which has started... The company for MGM Animation which, as you might know, is the company responsible for All Dogs Go to Heaven 2 and the Christmas movie.
Didn't they also do the first one?
No, technically that was Don Bluth and United Artists. But United Artists is owned by MGM now, but MGM Animation is to All Dogs Go to Heaven as Universal Animation is to Balto.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, so MGM has filed for bankruptcy.
Sad sauce.
It is about $100 million in debt.
Oh.
Oh.
And
that's almost as bad as the entire United States.
But anyway, so, but they also recently did the Fantastic Mr. Fox, MGM Animation did. But yeah, it's in so much debt that they plan to file for bankruptcy. From what I read, another movie company, Spyglass Entertainment, is going to merge together two of its little subsidiary companies together to form a new MGM Studios, and hopefully with that, a new MGM Animation Studio. So yeah, in essence, this is a pretty big blow for animated movies, and if, considering one of the last things MGM did before this happened was, you know, the Fantastic Mr. Fox, which, a good movie though it was, I guess, does that mean it didn't do very well in the box office, or they lose a lot of money on that?
It sounds to me, with being in debt so much, there has to be some sort of existing problem before Fantastic Mr. Fox, though, of course, I don't know how to really read off of that sort of thing, but still. In my personal opinion, that's what.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of business stuff. I know you guys aren't. I know a lot of you guys aren't terribly good with business lingo. I'm not very good with business lingo either, but it's.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was relevant because it was the company behind the All Dogs Go to Heaven sequels.
And to let you guys know a few of Spyglass's films. They released The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in 2005 and Underdog in 2007, just to name a few of what looks like probably dozens of films. They also released Star Trek. They're a major film company that's only been recently made. It looks like they are currently using the Walt Disney Pictures logo for their distribution. So if they're an independent company, they're just using Disney to distribute their films to theaters and such.
Interesting.
So I guess we can safely say that MGM is in good hands. Do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I smell Monopoly. That's just me, though.
Yeah, but you're hyper.
I am hyper.
For some information I found, it's apparently Fantastic Mr. Fox only made like half of its budget in domestic box office. Cost $40 million and it got about $20 million.
That's the same story as Princess and the Frog. It cost $200 million to make. It only grossed $100 million in the U.S. So, it's about the same story.
Yeah, well.
But MGM is in good hands.
Yeah, so far.
So, in other news, another upcoming movie is Tangled.
It's the Disney film. The CG film that looks like Rapunzel.
It is Rapunzel.
I got a story.
It's Rapunzel on Code Red.
She uses her
hair to beat up the prince. This automatically makes me want to watch this movie.
Oh, man.
They just can't get my nose right.
Aha! Rider!
Enjoy, prison! I'll miss the sound of your laughter. Alone at last.
Basically, Tangled used to have the name Rapunzel. It had the name Rapunzel up through March this year, but then Disney figured they didn't make enough money from The Princess and the Frog, as stated earlier, and they figured it was because of the girl-sounding title. So they changed the title from Rapunzel to Tangled. So that's the origin of the title, but the story itself looks absolutely amazing.
It does.
10 major critics from Wall Street Journal and Chicago Tribune and newspapers like that were invited to a private showing of the film by the Disney Company. All 10 of them came out with positive reviews, and I'll let you know that has not happened since The Lion King, that all 10 of those newspapers have given a film positive reviews.
Wow. Impressive.
So, it looks very promising. And there's a newer trailer that was only released 2 weeks ago that reveals a little more of the plot. The main characters are, of course, Rapunzel and her prince, as it were. His name is Flynn Rider. Flynn coming from the 1940s actor Errol Flynn, who happened to play Robin Hood at one point. It's just because we're talking about Robin Hood so earlier. And yep. Rider came from the original first name of the character, Rider. I forgot what his last name was, but anyway. So he's a big outlaw, and he breaks out of jail and then steals from his fellows, who he knows will get back in jail soon. Then he runs and he flees to a huge tower and meets Rapunzel. Of course, she's annoyed that he's broken into her private place and all, but she just wants to be free from her castle because her parents have locked her up in there, as the trailer puts it, like, forever.
So yeah, I remember that line.
She wants for him to rescue her, and he doesn't want to, but she uses the power of her hair to persuade him otherwise, and he breaks her free. Turns out her hair is under a magical spell, and I'm not entirely sure what it is, but it's some sort of curse, and I will not try to give away any spoilers, as I do not own any myself, but let's just say it's a typical Disney princess film. They all live happily ever after, good defeats evil, blah, 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 and that's about all I can tell you, because that's about all I know, and I am out of breath. So,
I'm going to guess that her hair is indestructible. That's what I'm going to guess.
Dude, she could use it like Superman's cape and be all like, pew, 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 deflecting bullets and running around and saving the day.
It could be like this video game I remember that had you were like a lab animal and you were chained to some indestructible radioactive rabbit and you used this thing as a weapon.
Yes. They need to make a video game with this version of Rapunzel, and she would just beat everything automatically.
That would be awesome.
So yeah, this movie is definitely one that you should look forward to. It's true Disney, it's CG, not 2D, but even so, it looks like a tremendous film, and I'm looking forward to seeing it personally.
Yep. Also, another random thing that's upcoming, not strictly animation, but Shrek is being made into a Broadway musical. I guess we should have seen it coming.
Yeah, I was actually surprised when I saw an ad for it when I was back in St. Louis. Shrek the Musical, now playing at the Fabulous Fox Theater. And I was like, whoa, wait, really? But actually, I do remember my friend who is really, really into Broadway. He knows all the musicals going on Broadway. But it had been so long, I guess it had a long run on strictly Broadway, but now it's touring. I had totally forgotten about it until it started touring, so yeah.
It's one of those things.
Yeah.
And now Swords has something he wants to correct from earlier.
Yeah, sorry, I said that Fantastic Mr. Fox was done by MGM Animation. I am apologize. I totally slipped up. Somehow my looking up information on Wikipedia was kind of, suspect. I mistakenly thought it was done by MGM, but it was actually done by 20th Century Fox Animation, which, if you think about it, is kind of fitting for Fantastic Mr. Fox.
So that means they have no part in the downfall of MGM.
No, it doesn't. But on a minor note, Fox Animation Studios only releases what it calls outsourced films, because Fantastic Mr. Fox was mostly done by a company called Regency Enterprises. And it hasn't made its own movie since Titan A.E. back in 2000. Anyway, it has nothing to do with the fact that MGM is $100 million in debt, so sorry.
Moving on to extra talk, something I just found recently that I'm putting here, and I apologize that I didn't announce it earlier. I've been looking for it, and I only just now found it again.
The user Eclipse on Animation Source sent us some lovely music towards the beginning of the SourceCast's young life. He did covers in violin of Reach for the Light, We Are One, the Tailspin theme, and Home is Where the Heart Is. And it was actually him playing the violin, and at one point I think it was We Are One, he did a duet with someone. I'm not sure if it was that one or another one. But at any rate, they will be included at the end of this episode or else elsewhere for download for your listening pleasure.
By the way, this is... Answer this for me. Where is We Are One from? Because I know, like, it's in the top of my head. I just don't know what movie it's from.
Lion King 2.
Lion King 2. And,
okay.
See, that's right. How about Home is Where the Heart Is? That is...
I think that was from Tailspin, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay.
Okay.
So, make sure to listen to those.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, really.
Do it.
They worked long and hard to get that. Show your appreciation.
And we're just now getting around to adding them, so be sure to listen and let Eclipse know how much you like them.
Listen or you'll face my wrath.
Her cackling wrath.
The wrath of a height of a wolf hyped up on red alert.
Hey.
Anaya can be very Sheltie. Brutal when she is hyper.
Sheltie, little furry yappy thing. Random, I know, sorry. Also, Con A had also contacted me earlier about coming on the SourceCast later this year. He originally asked about doing it late November, early December, but due to recent changes and such, he has... What was that?
What?
Oh great, now I'm hearing stuff.
You are hyper.
Anyway, okay, going on. Due to recent events and such, he has asked to try and push that up at our earliest convenience. And since we were kind of full this episode, and we didn't even really get to fit Ahura in like we had planned, that will be some other time.
But we are looking forward to both Kane and Ahura.
Yes.
Don't think we forgot you intentionally. It's we perfectly understand you have scheduling conflicts. We have scheduling conflicts, too. That's why this is only episode 5.
Yes.
So.
Also, we're trying out this whole new bi-weekly thing.
So, yeah. Look forward to seeing Kane and Ahura later on.
Yes. Yep.
Alrighty. So up next is the fan news, and what we have here is actually a review of Rotramel's Anayu series.
It is not about Anayu. No, it's not about you.
Not me.
Unfortunately,
right?
If we mispronounce Rotramel's name, we apologize. Heard it a lot of different
ways. Rotramel, jeez.
We've pronounced it a whole lot of different ways. So if you're hearing this, Rotramel the writer, we apologize.
And don't forget, you can correct us at the mailbag. Wink, wink, hint, yes. Hint.
Please send us your insults.
Our mailbag is hungry. But anyway, I find this kind of ironic because my fanfic was the very first one to be reviewed on SourceCast, and now I'm reviewing a fanfic.
Hey, but that's true, isn't it?
It's hazing. You're being hazed.
Ironic. But without further ado, the review. Let me say right now, personally, he is one of my favorite authors on Animation Source. And so, I started following him right before he started posting this, his Anayu trilogy. This took him a year and a half to write, so he put a lot of time and effort into it. Let me just start out by stating what the books are, and as soon as my browser opens up here. The three books in the Anayu trilogy are... Where is it? Oh my goodness, where is it?
You lost it.
Okay, here we are.
There it is.
Here we are. Okay. The three books in the Anayu trilogy are The Fall of Anayu, The Children of Anayu, and The Grace of Our Father. I guess I'll just have to summarize it all as if it were one book because it's just a continuous story plot. A little bit of backstory. This follows Rotramel's earlier stories in which Alu's sister Saba comes and takes over the wolf pack for her, By now, the wolf pack has moved closer to Nome, so Alu gets to see Balto and Jenna and all the others a whole lot more. So, anyway, Saba and her brother Everest have come to the wolf pack, and they have been chosen as leaders of the Talborn clan, which is the name of wolf pack. And Alu and her mate Shadow still live there. Now, there's this recurring enemy throughout the stories. His name is Shade. He has been killed many times before. I do not know how he gets resurrected. Okay, I know, but I won't tell you. Shade decides that
Phoenix for the win.
Yeah. So Shade decides that he wants to take over the Talborn because I'll just flat out say he's the embodiment of a demon in a wolf form. So, he wants to take over the Talborn clan because it is one of the last wolf packs loyal to Anayu. No, not Anayu Kylestis. Anayu the White Wolf, seen in Balto 2.
Ah, darn it. Thought I was getting followers.
But
in your plot to take over the world with fluffies.
Not fluffies.
Anyway, so Shade decides to take over the Talborn clan, and he has tried many times before and failed. But he sees the time is right, since all the other times before, Alu was the leader of the pack, and now Saba and Everest are. And he has something else up his sleeve. He wants to kill Anayu herself. Basically, throughout the first book, he goes out by doing that by... He kills a whole lot of people in order to get to Anayu, and finally he gets to Anayu, and he kills her. And then Alu is so depressed by it all that she runs in front of a car and kills herself.
Wow.
That's all depressing.
Yeah.
Wait. I want to clarify. I thought Anayu was already dead.
Did I say Anayu? I meant Alu.
Oh. Yeah, because from what I understand, in the second movie, it was kind of implied that she was a spirit, which to me, at least, implies that she's already dead.
Anayu.
A lot of people interpret that in different ways. That's actually one of the hot debates of stuff about fanfiction thingies.
Oh, whether or not
whether you want her to be dead or whether you just want her to be magical.
Me personally, I interpret her as dead, and so does Petramo in his stories. She is dead, but as I said, he is a demon and he manages to not necessarily kill her, but destroy her ability to become an embodiment of a mortal.
Okay.
So he does that, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this politically correctly. But anyway, I'll get back to that later. So Alu goes and runs in front of a car and kills herself. And Shadow and Balto see it all, and they're very, very upset by it. But there's nothing they can do, and they just have to walk away without even being able to bury the body, because Ritamo's writings are very, very vivid and graphic, just to let you know. All three of these books are rated fanfic PG-13 for violence. So they can't even bury the body because there's not too much body left.
Ugh.
That's the end of the first story, is Anayu has been destroyed and Alu has killed herself. And I won't say how this happens, but something happens that the Talborn doesn't even have a leader anymore. And Shade makes himself the leader of the Talborn, and Shadow has been separated from the Talborn, and he has to figure out what he's going to do next without a pack to go back to and without Alu in his life. And that's the end of the first book. I'll move on to the next book.
Just to cut in here, that sounds really depressing.
This does not sound like light reading.
Yeah.
It is not light reading. It's not for somebody who just thinks, oh, everything will work out, because it's not until the very end that everything does work out, and it's only by thread. Bertramo definitely knows how to keep you on your toes, even if it's just a bunch of words on a paper.
I know what you mean.
But like I said, he is a very vivid writer, and he does have graphic descriptions, and it is PG-13, so be forewarned. And in book two, focuses more on a resistance within the Talborn of resisting Jade, and Balto and Jenna have to figure out how to cope with the loss of their daughter. I mean, there's debate as to whether or not she was their favorite daughter or not, but they have lost Lou, who stayed with them for longer than any of the other pups, as is proved canon by Balto too. So they were very, very close to her, and they lost her, so now what do they do? And Shadow is just wandering around aimlessly. I think he only appears like 3 times in the story, Mostly he just appears trying to figure out how he can go on without Lou in his life. But anyway, there's a subplot here that kicks in that is based off of an earlier fanfic. Is there's this dog and gnome that thinks that Balto killed his father, when in reality his father was killed by accident and Balto just happened to be there. And he wants revenge on Balto for it. And he wants to kill Balto. So what he goes about doing is he kidnaps Jenna and holds her hostage in a part of Gnome that no dog would go to if they were in their right minds. So Balto, now he's lost his daughter and he's lost his mate, so what can he possibly do? And I'll tell you, this story really has a cliffhanger. At the beginning of the story, Alu finds herself basically in heaven. You know, all dogs go to heaven. But unlike the All Dogs Go to Heaven movie, all dogs do not go to heaven. She's in a judgment hall of sorts, and she has been judged as not able to go to heaven because she killed herself, giving up the life that was given to her by, it is assumed, God. And so she is sent to the equivalent of hell. I should also mention that Rotomo is very religious in his writings, as the third title, The Grace of Our Father, illustrates, but a few scenes throughout The Children of Anaya show Alu going through hell. She is being attacked by wolves, and she is, it's almost like a dream. She is attacked by them, and it's real pain, it's real torture, and right before it would kill her, she wakes up and she's just fine. And it all starts over and over and over and over again, and that is her version of hell. But then all of a sudden, during one time, she realizes that she has been through it before, which she hasn't the previous times for some odd reason. Basically, she realizes that it's all happened before, and she knows what's going to happen, and she manages to avoid getting tortured, and she starts running around, trying to find her way out of there. At the end of the book, she happens across, huge spoiler here, so if you don't want to hear this, just pause your headphones for 5 seconds.
Skip ahead a few seconds.
Yeah. She finds Steel.
Oh, I knew it. That's the first thing I was thinking.
Yeah, she finds her father's mortal enemy, who she killed earlier, and is now in the same place that she is. And that's the end of The Children of Anaya, second book. And the third story is The Grace of Our Father. It picks up right where the last one left off. Lou finds out that Steel is there, but he has figured out a way to avoid all of the tortures, and he has found his way basically around the entire place, and he has found where Anaya is, because she was sent there for failing to do her duty as a spirit for the world, I guess. I don't know, it's been like a few weeks since I read it, but so he starts leading Alu to Anaya, and then the story starts focusing on Shadow, who has been left out in the past book. He is still trying to figure out what he's going to do without Alu. He goes up to the top of a cliff and he's about to throw himself off when all of a sudden there's this spirit of old friend of his, girlfriend, I think. Either girlfriend or just regular friend, but it's somebody that he knew that had died, and her spirit comes and visits him. Her spirit says, "Don't give up. Keep going. Everything will work well. Just go back to the Tavern and fight with all that you have." He just doesn't want to do it because he doesn't have motivation to do anything, but then he decides to do it for Alu, and then he starts going back to the Tavern. But at the Tavern, Shade is still under control. However, there's a big resistance. Several other siblings of Alu's have gone there. I can't remember all their names offhand, but there are several. They are all there, and they are wanting to overthrow Shade, and they're trying to figure out how they can do it. And then all of a sudden, Shadow comes in, and he begins to tell them a little plan that he has, and they think it just might work. Meanwhile, back in Gnome, Balto finds out where Jenna is being kept, and he goes and starts to rescue her. Long story short, Alu finds Anaya, and Anaya, basically, she asks God to forgive Alu because she was depressed over her own death, and if she had found out why Anaya had been killed, then she wouldn't have done it. So basically, Alu is forgiven and is offered to return back to Earth, where she can help overthrow Shade, and Anaya is granted the access to go down and help. And then they are returned back to Earth, and Steel manages to go with them because he has proven that he has a change of heart and he no longer hates Balto and his family. He wants to help out any way he can. And at the same time, Balto manages to rescue Jenna. Barely. It's a very, very climatic clash between him and the person who kidnapped Jenna. Then there's this huge battle between the Talborn Wolves and Shade and his demons. All of them are fighting, and then Alu manages to join, but Shadow doesn't see her. And then all of a sudden, Anayu appears out of nowhere and permanently destroys Shade forever, for the final time. At least, that's what Rotomo implied in this one. And his demons are all destroyed, and the Talborn are free, finally.
Huh. That's cool.
So, that all works out, and Alu doesn't want to be leader still, because she's really, really old by this time. And she feels like it's time to hand down the leader position to somebody else, and as her brother and sister cannot lead anymore, because of some reason, she hands it over to another sister who is there at the Talborn. And then she and Shadow go off to live in Nome. Oh, and by the way, Shadow meets Alu in a very strange way, and he no longer feels depressed, and they live happily ever after. And the story ends with Anayu going back to heaven, where she belongs, and Steel is given an assignment that has still not been revealed as of this episode. He's given an assignment to prove that he really is trustworthy, and if he can prove that he is to Balto and his friends, then he's allowed to go back and live again. So that's the Anayu trilogy, and it'll take you days to read it. So don't think this is just something that we picked out before the episode and read while we were preparing it, because it took him a year and a half to write it. Each of these stories is probably 20 pages long. I know The Grace of Our Father is 25-30. Personally, these are really, really good stories, just like the rest of Tromel's stories.
Like sounds I said, like it. It sounds like it. I mean, holy cow.
Yeah. He put a lot of time and effort into these, so definitely take the time to appreciate them. He's one of the most favored authors on the site, but a bunch of precautions here. He is a devout Christian, and he doesn't mind stating that through his stories, so if you're...
That's fine.
If you don't like Christianity, or you want to avoid it, then you'll want to avoid these stories. And he is also very graphic in his descriptions, and it might make some of you queasy, like me. Hey. But if you can just, you know, swallow and keep reading, it's definitely a great read. And also, he uses a bunch of language. I mean,
oh, like bad language.
His language is like PG rated, but his violence is PG-13. So it's nothing hugely bad, but he does have words that we can't mention on this podcast, for example.
Yes.
Okay.
So, but overall, 10 out of 10, over the roof. It is probably, I've never anticipated reading a conclusion that much since Brissinger. So if you want something to read and you have no problem with the precautions I just gave you, go ahead and read it. You will not be disappointed.
All right.
I'll most definitely do that. I'm not one to like really pick up just go into the fanfics and pick something. I'm really one of those people who have to hear it first from somebody else who has read it. And this is most definitely something I'll read for sure.
Yes.
Hopefully, we will be doing more fanfic reviews in the future, because so far there was the episode 1 review of my fanfic, in which I was called a girl, and in this one. We had a review of the Anayu trilogy by somebody we can't even know how to pronounce his name. Yeah. So, sorry, Rotomo. But okay. Hopefully we'll be doing more reviews in the future. This was just something to add a bunch of space to this podcast, to be honest. But
either way, it was very well worth it, and it was deserved. So
Yep.
So that was my review of Rotomo the Writer's Anayu trilogy.
The mailbag now. Today we are going to address some of the answers you sent in to our question from last episode, which was how many of you guys thought Skull was a girl before the second episode or this episode or the episode when you first heard his voice.
Yeah, because I'm totally a girl.
And actually, we actually do have mailbag for this one.
Yay.
Which is good. Thank you, Mighty Balto, 1925.
Mighty, we love you. We really do.
We really do.
We do.
Great job, Mighty. You thought I was a girl, but you weren't afraid to say it.
Alrighty, yeah. So her first answer was, I always thought Skull was a girl. It wasn't until I paid attention to his gender listed in his profile I learned he was a guy.
And of course our second question was, what are you dressing up for Halloween? And if not, what is your favorite costume to see?
And
what was Mighty's response to that?
Mighty's response was, for Halloween, my friend and I are going to be Siamese cats in a big shirt, meaning we're going to find a big t-shirt that both of us are going to fit into.
Are they going to be Siamese cats or Siamese twins?
Cats.
So Siamese cat twins.
So they're Siamese cats.
Yeah.
They need ears and tails. This is
and whiskers and a nose and slanted eyes and fur and paws and slanted eyes and ears and tail and...
Yeah. And then she also adds that she really enjoys... Okay, this is her quote. Quote unquote. I really enjoy SourceCast. I've not missed one episode. I really like how you decided to add in the soundtracks from movies that have sources. Keep up the great work, Mighty Balta.
Yay!
All right,
well, thanks, Mighty.
And just to let you know, there is no official soundtrack for Robin Hood, so sorry there won't be any music from Robin Hood on this episode. Although if there was, there would definitely be.
Well, there is that one song that I love. There's that one, and oh. then...
And then the song called And Then.
Nice, huh?
There's the Richard song in there.
Oh, right.
And the other song.
There's a song called Love.
There's the Love song, and then there's Oodlolly, Oodlolly, Golly, What a Day.
Good lolly, good lolly, golly, what a day. That one?
Yes, that one. And what's the the Phony King of England. That one.
Yeah. But there's no score. So.
No, there's not, unfortunately.
Yes. But we'll try to put in one of the talking songs as the introduction or outroduction to the next episode, hopefully.
Yeah.
I gotta remember that Robin Hood was made on a relatively low budget, so...
And it's still awesome.
Yes,
indeed. Despite it's made on a low budget, so...
Yeah.
And they reused a bunch of footage from other movies, but still, you know, that's...
Did they really? Did they really reuse material?
They did.
There's a dancing scene that looks exactly the same as a dancing scene in another movie.
Snow White. And yeah, it's from Snow White. And then there was a bunch of animation reused from the Aristocats and one from the Jungle Book as well.
Really?
Our only regret is that Mighty Balto is the only one who has replied. If you want, you can reply to the older questions and we'll still answer them.
We're
that desperate for mail.
Well, we did get answers to the first question in a random poll on the shout box, and I didn't take down names. Unfortunately, but one person I remember was Kane. He said that he thought Skull was a girl, and I think
the Lonely Corpse said that she thought I was a boy all along.
Yes, she did.
The only one.
And then that was the only person in the shout box that day who thought Skull was a girl. So it was pretty much like random poll one.
There was Kane who thought I was a girl, and there were five others, literally, who thought I was a girl, and then Lonely Corpse, the one person that thought I was a boy all along. So, go on, we want your input. How many, who else of you thought I was a girl? We want to know.
Yeah,
we want to know.
I know I did. I did until you let us know it after the episode where we reviewed your fanfic.
You know what? I'm still skeptical.
Gee, thanks.
So, what?
So anyway, go on, feed our mailbag, send us anything, but particularly answer these questions that we've been asking.
And help us bash Skull's ego.
My ego's just fine. It's yours. You're so hyper. Dang.
Yeah, she's been drinking Mountain Dew Code Red.
From the nether place. It's from that place where I have to put everything when I can't say it on the shout box because it's against the rules. It just explodes out.
Alright, real quick, Tova. We want you to answer our mailbag question. First one. Did you think Skull was a girl before episode 2?
Well, to be honest, I've only had the chance to read episode 4. And so I didn't really see Skull around that much.
Uh-huh.
So I can't really answer that question because the podcast, his voice doesn't sound female.
All
so
right. That's fair.
Okay, yeah.
All right, and our other question, what are you dressing up as for this Halloween? And if you're not dressing up, what's your favorite costume to see?
Well, I'm not really decided yet. I'm sort of lazy now because, like, I don't feel like going to buy a whole new costume. So I'm sort of piecing together what I have over the years that I've had. I have a Harry Potter cloak that I could use, but I've been, you know, Harry Potter is probably going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
And I was basically originally going to be the Grim Reaper, as much as he creeps me out sometimes.
Yeah.
I actually got scared once because on Sims 3, I'm just gonna get into this real quick. Someone died in my house and the Grim Reaper came. It was weird. Anyway,
he shows up and is all
Just comes and he takes the guy away and it's like, oh, I have the stick and the hood, but now that I've started thinking of Twilight, I'm thinking I could probably use the cloak to turn it into the Volturi, you know, the bad vampires or whatever. I'll paint my face pale. I've always wanted to be a vampire, but last year it kind of tanked because the teeth didn't fit in my mouth because they were too small.
Oh no!
I was like, oh, this is all ruined! I didn't have makeup, so I could draw on my lips with a marker, like, at the edge, dripping down my chin. So at the end, I just washed it off, put on a witch hat, got a broom, and went trick-or-treating. But hopefully this year, I'll be able to pull it off. If I decide to be a vampire, that is.
Alrighty. Well, good luck with that, and thank you again for joining us.
Yes, thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, so now we're going to actually answer our own question, and about the whole Halloween costume thing. And I'll go first in saying that I'm planning, and actually in the middle of making my own, making the gloves for it, but I'm actually going to go as a werewolf in mid-transform. So, I found a little guide on DeviantArt to make the gloves, make pop heads for the gloves, and I'm actually really following that. It's actually really fun to do. So I'm excited, and I have 2 parties to go to, so it's going to be exciting to just mess around like that. And, how about you, Anayu?
Well. I have not decided what I want to dress up as just yet. I am on the fence between an old costume that I really didn't get to wear because I went to a costume party and it turned out not to be a costume party. And as such, I decided to thoroughly thrash my boyfriend. It's an entertaining story. I shall tell you later. Anyway, that was I'm thinking of recycling that. I'm also thinking of recycling my costume from last year. Last year I dressed up as Hermione, and I didn't get to post any pictures of it, mostly because I didn't have my camera, for one. And for two, I forgot the most identifying features of my costume as being Hermione, that being the wand and the time turner. So, when I went to the 2 parties I went to dressed as Hermione, here's the question I got asked. Oh, are you a Catholic schoolgirl?
Oh!
What?
Yes, that is what I got.
You should have. Well, didn't you have like a Gryffindor logo on it?
I did not. The costume I had was actually fully put together by me. I found the skirt, the vest, and the shirt, and everything, and I just kind of.
You find it like a scarf or something?
I don't have the Gryffindor scarf or anything. The only 2 things that really would have identified me as Hermione were the wand and the time turner. And I didn't have the wand because I actually got that as a present for Christmas that year.
Okay, well now you at least have that.
Yeah, and I had the time turner, but I forgot it at school.
Oh man.
Yeah, who does that? So, but I'll have those this year if I decide to go as that. And then the third thing that I'm trying to decide whether I want to go as or not is the Greek goddess Artemis. Because one of my friends is wanting to do a Greek god-themed thing, and he wants to go as Hermes, and somebody else, he wants one of our other friends to go as one of the other gods, and he said, "You should be Artemis!" And I was sitting there thinking, why? So I don't know.
Should be Aphrodite, maybe.
I don't think I can pull it off. I always see her as blonde.
Yeah, go as Wait, You Lost Me. Go as Wait, You Lost Me.
Wait, You Lost Me?
Isn't that what Sword said?
No, I said Aphrodite.
Like I said, Wait, You Lost Me.
Aphrodite, the goddess of love and beauty.
So, Nayu, if you went as Artemis, how would you dress?
I'd probably put branches in my hair, to be honest. That seems kind of realistic. I would probably have to paint them silver or something first, and I'd have to steal a deer from someone just to make it authentic, and it'd have to be white.
White.
I probably shouldn't go as Artemis, because I feel like I'm going to be serving some jail time or something.
Anyway. Alright, so, Skull, what are you going to be dressed up as?
Actually, I'm not going anywhere for Halloween.
No.
Well, answer the second question.
Yes, what is your favorite costume to see? Or favorite piece of cosplay or whatever, you know?
That would be Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
Epic.
Always awesome.
Yeah, that's my ultimate favorite costume. When I used to go out for Halloween, that is what I went out as. I have the Darth Vader helmet, I have a black shirt, gloves, black pants, a cape, his lightsaber, you can't go anywhere without that. I was very convincing, except that I wore tennis shoes. Other than that, pretty good.
Well, no one really looks at tennis shoes anyway, so...
Unless they're glowing white. So anyways, let's move on to swords. How about you?
Well, on Halloween, happens to fall on this furry convention I'm going to, Oaklacon. Actually, by that time, I will have a fursuit, a German Shepherd suit. And it's just going to be, you know, head, hands, and tail. But what I'm going to do on top of that, I'm going to be dressing him as Frank Sinatra. So,
oh, nice.
I've got a coat, and, you know, I've got a coat and tie, and a black tie. Got, you know, this distinctive hat of Frank Sinatra. And during the party, I'm going to be lip-syncing to Come Fly With Me.
Are you not going to be really singing?
No, I'm not going to be I can't sing.
You should sing.
You should sing.
I suck at singing.
Sing.
Well,
I presume it's a disgrace to... I disgrace Frank Sinatra.
No, that's not the point.
Yeah. I'll probably do it in a... I'll probably do it to a smaller audience.
Get some Code Red and then sing.
Because you know that works.
Yes, that would work.
Let's go to our introduction.
Whoa! You're thinking way too ahead of yourself. We need to introduce the new question.
We need to ask the new question.
And that new question is what would you guys say that the sourcecasters should go as? What costume, Halloween costume, do you think all four sourcecasters should be, and why? That is this week's question.
Yes, vote on what I should be.
And me.
And
Skull and Dusty.
Of course, me.
If I could not dress up as the furry Frank Sinatra, if, you know, Skull wasn't dressing up as anything, but if Rusty couldn't dress up as, you know, a werewolf, and Nayu couldn't dress up as whatever, any of her three choices, you know, what should we dress up as?
Yeah, without any prior knowledge or anything, just from your gut, give us costumes to wear, and we'll hypothetically...
Other than the ones we talked about now, so...
Goes with me, too.
Yeah. So other than Darth Vader, what should Skull be dressed up as?
Yep. Anyways, just send your make sure to send your answers to sourcecast@gmail.com.
That's sourcecast LPQRL. No, sourcecast, regular sourcecast@gmail, not email, gmail.com.
And then with that,
on the forum topic in the other section.
Yep. You can also PM us if you would like. And with that, we shall be leaving.
This episode was brought to you by the letter
cute.
This episode was brought to you by Mountain Dew Code Red.
It was brought to you by Mountain Dew Code Red. I should be the poster child for Mountain Dew Code Red.
We gotta call Pepsi and tell us that tell them that we want to be paid to do this.
They should pay me to drink their product and be
okay. Yeah, really.
They should. No. What you heard at the beginning, the whole news story about what happened to us during the making of this episode, it was all in all very, very true.
Yes.
And if you believe a single word of it, you were wise.
All right.
Sarcasm.
Yep. And with that brings us to the very end of episode 5. We'll be back for episode 6 in 2 weeks on the week of Halloween. You can always catch us on mypodcast.com. That's our host. You find us on iTunes, as well as the episodes in parts on YouTube. Make sure to send us feedback and answer to the mailbag at sourcecast@gmail.com. And of course, you know, we're always on Animation Source, so PM us there too.
Yeah, or just
yep.
yell at us, you know, we're
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
You
can tackle us too if you want
to. Shout box, tell us something.
Yep, tackle us there too. And with that, I'm Rusty the Fox.
I'm Anaya Kylestis.
I'm Swords of the Wolves.
And I'm Skoblocker Shirtigal.
And we're the Source Casters. See ya.
See ya, guys.
Hyper Anaya strikes back.
Thank you.